Chapter 12. Tenkun's suite had become a war room. Kin and Tenkun pressed Che for details about the night Kim had come home spattered in blood and wrecked, and then they pressed for everything else he remembered. Halfway through, Tenkun stood abruptly and started pacing around the room, rubbing his neck and wrists. Kin, in contrast, slowly hardened into stone. All the little bits of softness he'd shown Che were gone, leaving behind someone cold and tactical. It was so much like Kim that Che found it weirdly comforting.
"There was an event that night that I was supposed to attend," Kin said evenly. "I stayed with Porsche, but we still got the contracts."
"How?" Tenkun asked as he paced. Che didn't try to track his route around the room.
"Papa just told me he'd taken care of it."
Kim was dressed really fancy when he got back. Kim was dressed really fancy when he got back, Che offered. He never dresses that fancy.
"So, my father sent my Omega little brother into a ballroom full of alphas,"
Kin said, his voice completely devoid of any expression.
"All because I wanted to play house."
"Self-loathing later," Tenkun said impatiently. "How long has this been happening?" Kin held excruciatingly still.
"A year ago, we had a police chief who was trying to squeeze us for a bigger cut, and then suddenly he wasn't a problem. 2 years back, the Russians were getting out of line, until they weren't. Our father told me the same thing then. He'd taken care of it."
"The Chinese courier," Tenkun said, like the words were dragged out of him.
"That gang leader who was getting ideas."
"Kin," Tenkun choked. "Kin, the German." Kin's pale face turned a little green. Che's voice wobbled. "What happened to the German?" Kin pressed his lips together and didn't answer. Tenkun was ruthless, though. "Dead in an Omega brothel. They found the body naked in one of the beds." Che remembered Kim's venom when he called himself a whore. Che had asked to touch him, and Kim had said, "Everyone else has." The room went blurry with Che's steers, but he still managed. "Yeah, that's Kim, he... that makes sense." Kin's scent roared over them like a wildfire. His growls joined Tenkun's, making the room vibrate. Their blatant anger made Che realize that he was furious. He had been furious since he'd seen Kim come home empty-eyed and dissociating. Someone needed to answer for that. Tenkun and Kin's sense welcomed his rage. These alphas understood it. When Che kicked a pillow across the floor, they didn't flinch. "Why is your father doing this to him?" Tenkun bit out a mean laugh. "He wants a complete set, little Che. All his chess pieces lined up on the board, playing by his rules." Kin's growl ripped through the room.
"He promised me. He told me that if I..."
Kin lurched to his feet and headed for the door. Che knew what Porsche would do if someone had been hurting Che and lying about it. There was murder in Kin's face. Kim was afraid of his father. Kim hadn't told Kin any of this. Che launched himself at Kin and grabbed his legs in a rugby tackle. "Pekin, no!" Kin growled and tried to extricate himself from Che's grip, but Che was determined. He clung to him like he'd used to cling to Porsche when he didn't want to go to bed. He made himself an octopus. You can't go anywhere until you calm down. Tenkun appeared and stood in front of the doorway. Don't you dare. I mean it, Ken.
He promised me!
Ken shouted. Che used all his fury to shout back. This is exactly why Pete Kim never tells you anything! That froze Ken where nothing else had. Tenkun took advantage of the momentary weakness and grabbed Ken's face in his hands, forcing Ken to look him in the eye. For the first time, Tenkun's citrus scent was the strongest in the room. He commanded, Anakin Thirapanyakul, stop this! Kin jerked out of Tenkun's hold, obviously throwing off the command easily. But he did stop. His snarl sounded helpless, like he was doing that instead of crying. Che was still crying a little. It was no big deal. Tenkun's growl softened into a rumble. Stand down, little brother. If you go in without a plan, you'll make things worse.
I'm not letting our father get away with this,
Ken seethed.
We'd better make a plan fast.
We will. Believe me.
I need to help him,
Ken said desperately. Che's heart twisted, because he felt that desperation too. Tenkun dashed wetness from his eyes and said, There's so much wrapped up in this, Ken. We need to be smart.
Kun, I can't wait. I just can't.
Ken was shaking. His scent was out of control. All his protective instincts were clearly in overdrive, and he didn't have an outlet for them. It was a good thing they had a Nong with them, then. Che clambered up to his feet and let all his grief and fear show on his face. Pekin, he pleaded. Porsche isn't here. I need you. Kin's attention snapped to Che with frightening focus.
To do what? He demanded.
Che figured a hug was out of the question. He wrapped his arms around himself and said the first thing that came to mind. Can you make sure no one's listening to us here? Kin turned that scary intensity to the room immediately. What followed was a very contained demolition of every object in Tenkun's rooms. Kin took apart lamps and then, when they passed inspection, reassembled them. He neatly slit open pillows with a knife he'd gotten from somewhere. He literally turned the couches over to look underneath them. Sorry, Che whispered to Tenkun. They were both pressed together on the sofa where Kin had firmly placed them. He knew Tenkun well enough by now to know these rooms were his safe space. Oh no, I should be thanking you, Tenkun said, voice only slightly unsteady. It's this, or watch Chen shoot him while he tries to kill our father. Che pressed against Tenkun's side in support. Che had never had a father, but he imagined it would be hard to think about your brother killing one. His empathy for this particular father was low, however. Sometimes it was better when people just stopped being around. Tenkun was studying Che. Yuki Tosawa's are really something, aren't you? This would have gone differently if you hadn't been here. Not better. Che ducked his head. Tenkun rubbed his covered wrists with familiar anxiety. If we don't come to Kim with a foolproof plan, he's going to spook. Che had already thought about that. Yeah. I need you to be there for him while we work on it. Can you do that, my tiny and powerful Porsche?
Meaning that I'm not going to be involved in the planning, right? Jay said heavily. He had been expecting this, because this was how his life went. Decisions happened around him, and Che was left to mop up the fallout.
You're one of my strongest cast members, Tenkun assured. However, let's keep you in the slice of life genre, and not action-adventure, hmm?
That was a compelling point, at least. It wasn't like Che wanted to end up in the middle of violence. He'd had enough of that for a lifetime.
I'll be there for him, Che said firmly. Tenkun had a distant, pensive air about him. Just keep doing whatever you're doing. We'll handle the rest.
The sound of a phone ringing stopped Kin in the middle of taking apart Tenkun's game console. He answered with a curt, "Report." His shoulders relaxed a fraction. "Good." He looked at Che and Tenkun and said, "They're fine. Pete says the mission was a success."
It was like the room itself got brighter. The air whooshed out of Che in a grateful breath.
Tenkun laughed a little wildly.
But the more Kin listened to Pete, the more he was frowning.
"What do you mean, flirting?" He listened a bit more before saying, "I'm on my way." "I'm going to pick up Porsche," Kin snapped, jamming his phone into his pocket.
Tenkun laughed again, more steadily this time. "Don't maul him right after you get him back."
Che pointed a finger at Kin.
"Remember, nicely."
Kin huffed, but he said, "I'll remember." Che's own phone vibrated with a text. Sure enough, it was the person he'd been hoping for. Kim, heart emoji. Garden entrance, 15 minutes. Che. Heart eyes emoji, two hearts emoji, heart eyes emoji, sparkle emoji, heart eyes emoji, face surrounded by hearts emoji times three.
Che's heartbeat kicked up a notch. Soon, he would get to hold Kim in his arms again and know that he was safe. After everything he'd learned, Che was never letting Kim out of his sight again. "Pikun," Che said, "I need to change back into my regular clothes, and I need you to take me somewhere."
If Kim had felt powerful, commanding attention at an event with Vegas, it was nothing compared to how it felt to storm a warehouse with two Pack Omegas at his back. He didn't lose himself to the fight like he usually did. Normally, Kim Han shoved everything else into a box and then did his thing. But this time, Kim could also hear his Omega instincts whispering to him. He could hear himself think when their team carved through the Italians like butter. During the fight, Kim caught a gun Vegas tossed him without looking to know it was coming. He twisted under an enemy's guard and kept going, because he knew Porsche was a step behind him and had it handled. He just knew. In a lull, Kim made eye contact with Porsche and Vegas at their various stations in the warehouse. A perfect tactical spread without having discussed it. And Kim realized they both looked just as electric as he felt. They'd come prepared to lose a lot of men in the first assault, but the three of them led a beautiful dance of violence that ended with most of their people alive and the Italian Alpha dead under the barrel of Kim's gun.
"See?" Vegas told him, alight. "Maybe it's time people knew."
Kim didn't say anything, but he didn't snap at him either.
If this had been all Vegas had wanted, it hadn't been so bad. The trip back was raucous with triumph. When they reached the Minor family's compound, Porsche slung one arm around Kim and another around Vegas. "We're gonna party!" Vegas leaned into Porsche and laughed. "Fuck yes, we are." Once the party started in earnest, Kim positioned himself by the wall and watched. Porsche and Vegas were clearly riding high on adrenaline, and whatever crazy Omega thing was happening between all three of them. They danced very close to each other, bodies moving in a way that was making the rest of the room watch out of the corner of their eyes. Kim saw Pete on the phone, talking quickly, which meant Kim would be here soon. Kim had no desire to see that particular fallout. Kim slipped out of the room. He could feel a tug somewhere under his sternum, a compass that only pointed in one direction. He sent a text and detoured to the garage to snag Vegas's red Ducati. If his cousin didn't want someone to steal his motorcycle, he should be more careful where he left his keys. The bike couldn't eat up the streets fast enough, no matter how Kim wove through traffic. His heart pounded in his ears, and the beat sounded like che, che, che. The garden entrance was a single door tucked into the compound wall and accessible by a side street. There was only one camera there, and Kim was confident Ten Coon's people could sort that out. Kim still parked at the end of the street, out of the camera's reach, and revved the engine of the bike. The door opened, and he saw Ten Coon first, dressed in a bright red dressing gown and flanked by his two usual guards. Che stood next to him. Che, che, che. The group turned around when they heard the rumble of the bike, which meant Kim got to see the way Che jumped up and down with excitement when he saw him, waving frantically like he was worried Kim hadn't noticed him. As if Kim couldn't have found him blind in the dead of night. He saw Che fling his arms around Ten Coon in a hug, saw the way they both clung to each other as if they'd been through something together. He gripped the handlebars tightly to stop himself from getting off the bike and demanding answers. He could do that later, when there were fewer prying eyes. He loved his brother, but the longer Ten Coon kept Che in his arms, the more impatient Kim became. He revved the engine again and heard Ten Coon's bright laugh. It relaxed him. Everything seemed fine. Of course Ten Coon didn't want Che to leave. That was a reasonable reaction. Well, tough. Kim had seen him first. The second Ten Coon let him go, Che ran straight down the street, right to Kim. Kim watched him come and ached. When he reached him, Che skidded to a stop, bouncing on the balls of his feet. "Hi," he said breathlessly. "Hi," Kim said inanely. Che's whole body was leaning forward, like he could barely stop himself from throwing himself at Kim. "Are you hurt anywhere?" Kim shook his head. "Any trouble here?" "No, it was good." "Good." The air crackled between them. "We should go," Kim said. "Right. Right. Sorry." Che swung himself onto the seat behind Kim in an easy, practiced movement. His arms circled around Kim's waist, and he tucked himself up against Kim's back. "Hi," he said again, right into Kim's ear. Kim was hyper-aware of every place their bodies touched. Everything that wasn't Che faded into the background. That ache in Kim's chest expanded until it felt like he was made out of hunger. Wanted to tear his ribcage apart and nestle Che inside of himself. That might make it better. Instead, Kim drove. Che didn't comment on the lack of helmets or the sudden appearance of a new motorcycle. He just wrapped himself around Kim, perfectly trusting and moving intuitively with the bike as Kim took curves sharper than he should have. They pulled up in front of the Kitasawat's gate, and Che made a faint noise of surprise.
My house?
All of Kim's words were trapped in his throat, so he just nodded. Che hopped down to open the gate and let him in. By the time Kim parked the bike, Che had unlocked the door and was waiting for him on the threshold. The way Che was looking at him, like he was hungry for Kim too, pulled Kim to his side. Kim reached out, but stopped short of touching him. He wasn't sure what would happen if he touched Che right now. Che's eyes burned. They stood together in the open doorway and stared at each other. Until, of course, Che moved them forward. His warm fingers closed around Kim's wrist and tugged him into the house.
Come on, he said urgently. Come on.
The second Che closed the door behind them, Kim crowded him up against it. Che's body was a long, pliant line of heat when Kim pressed into him. His hands fisted the material of Kim's leather jacket when Kim nosed at his scent gland.
You came back, Che choked. You're safe. You are safe, right?
He pulled Kim forward, like he could somehow get them closer.
Don't leave again, please. I missed you. I really, really missed you.
Kim was going to die from this ravenous feeling inside him. He bit at Che's lips, and when he drew blood, he licked it up and swallowed it, because he needed Che inside him. Che trembled, and Kim felt it everywhere they were pressed together.
You're safe, Che repeated, like a mantra. You're safe.
Kim dredged his words out of himself, because he had to explain. If he explained, maybe Che could do something about the way his body was turning into a black hole that wanted to consume this boy.
I did what you said. You came back, Che agreed, his voice trembling as much as his body.
That is not what you told me to do.
It was.
You said, Kim said, the words so roughly hewn they were almost unintelligible,
to come back to you.
The sweetness in Che's scent turned hot, like molten honey.
And you did. You're with me. You can have any part of me you want.
Kim didn't know what he wanted. The visuals that came immediately to mind were a mix of blood and his knees hitting a dirty floor and the way Porsche had curled into him on the balcony last night.
None of that was right.
He shook his head, helpless.
Come with me, Che said,
as desperately as Kim felt.
We can, I don't know what. Just come with me.
They stumbled together up the stairs, clumsy because Che refused to release his grip on Kim, and Kim would have stabbed anyone who tried to take Che out of his hands. They ended up in a bedroom that smelled so overwhelmingly good that Kim knew immediately it was Che's. There was a bed in one corner, messy and piled with blankets. And suddenly, Kim knew what he wanted. The idea came to him in a whisper, so maybe it was from his Omega. It felt like it came from him, though. The distinction had become so blurred today that it didn't seem important to figure out. Che whined in protest when Kim let him go, but he stopped when he saw Kim strip off his jacket and his shirt and toss both garments onto the bed. Kim tugged on the hem of Che's t-shirt and asked,
Okay?
anything, Che said, his scent rising up around them, his eyes fixed on Kim. Kim wasn't selfless enough to double-check. He knew this would ease the ache in his chest, and he wanted it. He pulled Che's shirt over his head and threw it on the bed as well. He'd never seen so much of Che's skin before. It was smooth and turning steadily flushed the longer Kim stared at it. The blush went all the way up Che's neck and into his cheeks. Kim traced its path with his fingertips until he was cupping Che's blushing face in his hands. He held Che's head still while he devoured his mouth, pressing his tongue in as deeply as it would go, trying to taste every inch of him. Che's fingers clawed at his back, lines of delicious fire. This was not the plan, though. Kim was new to most of this, but he was good at maneuvering pleasure-drunk bodies where he wanted them. He had Che in the bed and under him before Che had gotten his breath back. Before Kim could ask again if this was okay, Che dug his fingers into his shoulders and pulled him in. "Whatever you want," Che panted, words tripping over themselves. "Bite me, fuck me, I don't care. I don't care, just please be all right. Please, please be all right." Che's scent was burning around the edges, like sugar left on the stove for too long. That wasn't Kim's goal. He didn't like the desperation with which Che was clutching him. He hated the tears that were gathering at the corner of Che's eyes. Kim thumbed them off Che's cheeks. "I'm all right." Che grabbed Kim and crashed their mouths together, rough and messy. The nip Kim had made on his lip reopened, and the blood ended up in both of their mouths. Che bucked up into him, his hard length grinding into Kim's groin. Kim had experience with this, too, but he still pushed himself up and away from Che, so they weren't touching like that anymore. He told himself it was because that wasn't the plan. Che made a questioning noise, and Kim dropped a kiss on his blood-tinted lips. Che looked as wrecked as Kim felt, the wetness in his eyes shimmering. He was so beautiful. "Stay still for me," Kim said. Che's lips parted, his eyes widening. That had sounded sexier than Kim had intended. He'd said it because he wanted Che to stay. He hadn't meant anything by it, but he could see Che's expectation building. Kim was about to disappoint this boy, this beautiful, perfect alpha. The realization plummeted to the bottom of Kim's stomach. Any good Omega would be sinking down on Che's cock right now, grateful for the privilege. That's what any normal person would want after seeing Che spread out under them like a meal. Kim wasn't normal. The thing he had wanted had seemed perfect a minute ago, when their shirts had been on. Now it seemed stupid. "Whatever you want," Che repeated, catching his hesitation. "It's okay. Anything's okay." Che had never lied to Kim. There was nothing the Alpha sent to make him doubt, and everything to make him believe. So Kim pulled away from Che's warm body and turned his attention to the bed. The blankets were soft enough, but in the wrong place. They smelled wrong, too. Kim rubbed his wrists over them until they smelled as much like him as they did Che. Then he wrangled them into the shape of a proper nest. Their shirts and his jacket helped, and he worked them in among the blankets. Kim felt Che's silent attention, even as he avoided looking at him. He grabbed the two flat pillows on the bed and added them to his pathetic little heap. He had been right. This was stupid. A better Omega could have made a better nest. Kim. Kim's shoulders hunched. He didn't want to see whatever polite, pitying expression was on Che's face. You said anything, Kim said, and it came out hard and defensive. Kim, Che said again. Look at me. Kim's lips pulled back in a snarl, and he turned around. Che was propped up on his elbows, watching him. That heat from before was still in his eyes. So was the hunger. Che looked as though Kim had just gone down on his knees and offered his mouth. Kim had literally only been rearranging blankets. Nesting was not a sexy Omega behavior. At least, Kim hadn't thought it was. There's more stuff in the hall closet, was all Che said, but everything about him was taut with what smelled like desire. I want more of your shirts, Kim said, like a challenge, like a question. You can have them. I don't want you to move while I go get them. Che's tongue darted out and licked his lips. Then I won't. Okay, that was a thing. Kim got the blankets and scented them properly, then grabbed random pieces of clothing off the floor. Che was honestly the messiest person he'd ever met. Kim hadn't made a nest since he was young, but he remembered how. Maybe Che would call it instinct. Either way, when he was done, the bed was a cozy little fortress. Kim knew logically it didn't protect them, but it settled something inside him to be surrounded by soft things that smelled like both of them. Che hadn't moved an inch. So obedient. Kim looked at him and wasn't surprised by how dark his eyes were. The arousal in both of their scents was impossible to ignore now that Kim wasn't focused on anything else. He didn't want to ignore it. Che's voice was deeper than normal when he said, It's a good nest, Kim. I love it. Heat poured down Kim's spine like melting wax. Oh. Oh. It's perfect, Che continued. You're perfect. You came back to me. You made us a safe place. I love... Che swallowed a word and tacked on lamely. It. Kim felt all his senses sharpen, focusing on Che like the boy was prey in his sights. He wanted to eat Che's words off his tongue. Kim moved up the bed until he was caging Che against the mattress, his arms on either side of Che's head. Say it again. I love it, Che breathed. He was still holding perfectly motionless. So good. That's not what you were going to say. Kim craved proof of Che's desire in a way that felt almost cruel. He wanted to squeeze the words out, just to have evidence of what he meant to this alpha. Che's eyes were so big and so dark, looking up at him. He didn't make Kim ask. He never did. I love you, Kim. I love you so much. I love you. I love you. I... Kim put his mouth on Che's collarbone and bit him. Hard. It wasn't on the scent gland, so it wasn't a mating mark. But Che reacted like it was, crying out and writhing under him. His hands flew up to Kim's hair and tugged his head up to his throat. Please... he panted. I love you. Please. Kim bit the soft hollow of Che's throat, more gently this time. Che pulled his hair so hard, it made his scalp tingle. "Kim," he begged, "please." Kim bit under his jaw. "Mine." "Yes." "All mine." "Yes, yes," Che babbled. His fingers left Kim's hair and ran down his chest, making Kim shiver. He kept doing it with the perfect amount of pressure. It made Kim want to vibrate out of his skin in the best way. Kim let his own hands wander where he wanted. Unlike Che, he let his hands dip lower, running his fingers over the bulge in Che's pants. "Mine?" he asked, giving Che's cock a squeeze through the fabric so there would be no confusion. Che groaned and thumped his head back against the mattress.
Yes.
"However much of it I want." Che twisted his body up into Kim's grip.
"Yes."
"And however much I don't."
"Yes. Shit. Yes."
"Then give it to me," Kim said, and dropped down on Che in a filthy, full-body grind, right as he tightened his grip on his cock. Che's head snapped back, his mouth a perfect O. His body seized up, his fingers clutching hard at Kim's arms. Kim vibrated to the tune of Che's pleasure. It swept through him in sweet, delicious waves. He'd made people come before, but it had never felt like this. Nothing had ever felt like this. He swallowed Che's sweet sounds directly from his mouth, just to keep them to himself. Che's muscles relaxed as he came down. He wrapped his arms around Kim's back and pushed until they were both lying on their sides, facing each other, legs still tangled together. When their eyes met, Che squeaked and hid his face in Kim's chest. Kim couldn't help it. He laughed. Che squeaked again, this time with more agony. But the delight in his scent betrayed him.
"Go away, I can't look at you."
"So you like the nest, huh?"
"Go away,"
Che whined, clutching Kim closer.
"Oh my god, I can't believe you did that."
"What part of it?"
"All parts of it."
"Your fault," Kim said. "You said that."
Che hummed happily. "I would have told you sooner if I'd known you'd like it so much."
"I..." Kim started, then stopped. As usual, he couldn't say it.
"Yeah," Che said softly, like he knew what Kim meant. Then he peeked out from Kim's chest.
He wiggled his leg that was trapped between Kim's own.
"Did you, you know..." Kim had no idea how Che could say the word love and not the word come.
"I'm fine."
Che wiggled with more intention, his thigh pressing where Kim was hard. "You don't want to?" Kim did not, and he didn't want to analyze why. He wanted to keep his own arousal inside himself, where it felt safe.
"It's good like this."
"Okay," Che said, as easily as he always accepted everything about Kim. He snuggled back into Kim's embrace. "I love you." Kim held him tighter and hoped Che could feel the unspoken words through his skin. The 2 weeks that followed drifted by in a warm, languid haze of happiness. Kim went to class, and so did Che, but Kim drove him every day. Vegas still hadn't asked for his bike back, and Che liked it, so Kim just kept it. They went back to either Kim's apartment or Che's house and did their work, or talked, or played guitar. It felt domestic in a way Kim had never experienced. Every night, they slept together, and sometimes Kim made Che calm, and sometimes he curled himself around the other boy and fell asleep. Che seemed to enjoy both equally. The only weird thing was the texts. The first one was from Tenkun, of course, the day after they left the compound. Kun. Not even a greeting for your oldest brother? Not even so much as a thank you for keeping the love of your life safe while you were away?
Thanks.
Honestly, your manners, Kimmy! Face surrounded by hearts emoji. Thank you. Blushing emoji. Oh, you know what? That's so much worse. I hate it. Quick, say something normal.
Che liked you, so I am reconsidering what it means that he seems to like me, too.
And he's back! And, oh honey, that boy doesn't just like you.
Yeah. One text conversation with Kun would have been fine. Expected, even. Until the next day, when Kim got a text from his other brother. Kin. Hello. Kim could count the number of times Kin had texted him on one hand. How are you today? What song did we sing together at our brother's 11th birthday? It's me. You don't need to ID check me. Answer the fucking question, asshole. Wannabe by the Spice Girls. Why do you text like an email? I don't know. It's autocorrect. What do you want? Nothing. I just wanted to say hello.
Kim honestly had no idea what to do with that. But then, Che's stupid school started giving him problems, saying that he couldn't graduate because of all the classes he'd missed recently. And Kin and Tenkun's texts were right there at the top of his app. So Kim created a group message. Who wants to threaten a high school superintendent?
Kun.
Oh, me!
Kin. Name.
Magically, Che was back on the graduation list. The texts just kept coming. Not every day, but a few times a week, one of Kim's brothers would send him something. The sudden opening of communication made Kim feel panicky and paranoid. Kim checked the security on his phone obsessively, before switching over to dissecting his brother's texts for hidden meanings. Eventually, though, even Kim had to admit that they were just texts.
Kun.
Hey, did Pete say anything to you when he was on the mission? He hasn't been home yet, and Kin says he's with his grandma, but it seems strange, you know?
Who's Pete?
He wasn't admitting that he liked it, though. Absolutely not.
Kin. What does this mean?
Screenshot attachment of a text from Porsche. Baby bottle emoji, skull emoji, fist emoji, popcorn emoji times 3, waving hand emoji.
How the fuck should I know? Ask Che. No. Technically, he owes me a favor for calling his school. Fuck you.
He says, oh no, what did Pekin do?
I didn't do anything. How am I supposed to fix it?
IDK, die?
Ask Jay.
One favor only. Rip.
Of course, there were also the less pleasant texts. Kim got one from Chan that was just a file attachment of a target dossier. It was unusual to get so many missions from his father all at once, so Kim could only assume he was still being punished. Well, as long as Korn didn't bring anyone else into it, Kim would kill whoever his father wanted. Che had taken one look at his face and begged him to wait just a few hours before leaving. Just have dinner first. Please, P. Kim. How was Kim supposed to deny him? So they made dinner. Well, Che made dinner and Kim watched, ate, and cleaned up. It took hours. And the next time Kim checked his phone, there was another text from Chan telling him the mission was off. The target was already dead. Later that night in bed, Che reached over and rubbed at the furrow between Kim's eyebrows. What is it?
I don't know. Something's different.
Che hummed.
Bad different?
Not yet, Kim said slowly.
Che traced his thumb down Kim's cheek.
Good.
Author's end notes. Che, is it really murder if you really, really hate the person?
Porsche.
Yes! Che, is it though?